Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and my website is crosstheborder.org. Today we have begun and will continue looking into 1 Corinthians, and we've ended up in chapter 2, about verse 7. So we'll just pick up and dive in there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, "But we speak with the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." And there you go. Them that love him. Of course, the word there is agapeo, and it's not a romantic type of love. It is a love that's giving. It's a love that says, I want to live my life in a way that's pleasing to you. And that's how we love our Heavenly Father. And reading about this mystery hid from the beginning of the world, he said it hasn't, eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So this is a very important standing to have in life, to be one that loves him. Can you really think of anything more important than your standing before our Creator? Are you one that loves him? Or are you one that doesn't really care? You don't really have time. You love the things that you're pursuing more. I mean, how many people really love him? Because, and you know, what demonstrates your love toward him? Well, it's how you live your life. Do you live a life that is pleasing to the Heavenly Father? And how do you make sure? Because there are a lot of people that give him lip service. There are a lot of people who attend the corporate buildings, the corporate churches on the weekends. They may go every Sunday and maybe even every Wednesday, and they sing the songs and they have the emotional reactions. But do they go out then and do what they want? Do they believe that the law of God was dead? That all of those things that he desires of us, that they don't really mean anything? Do they believe that, oh, God wants me to be happy so I can do whatever I want? Is that how I think that's how most so-called Christians love God, is they think, well, God loves me, and if it makes me happy, then it makes God happy. It's kind of backwards, isn't it? Aren't you kind of putting yourself in the first place, and that God has to make you happy instead of you making him happy? I know many people who think just like that. They will express that to you. God wants me to be happy so I can do that. I don't have to keep his law. I'm not happy in my marriage. So if I want to leave my husband, the law doesn't matter. That's right. God wants me to be happy so I can go live with this other man who is not my husband. Things like that. Because God wants me to be happy after all, so I can do what I want. You know, that is totally backwards. That is totally contrary thinking. That's called self-love. You love yourself more than you love God. Because you've relegated God to ratifying what makes you happy as his law. In other words, you put the law of your happiness above what really makes him happy. And he gave us his word to teach us how to love him and how to love our neighbor as ourself. So our standing, I mean, I want my standing to be here. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. I want to be there. I want to be one of those. Heavenly Father, I want to be one of those. Whatever it takes, you know, stop me. Turn me around. I want to be one of those that love you. Chapter 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So we get an unction, we get a notion, if we love him, and he reveals those things to us as much as our mind can take. And yes, I can't express to you the faith. I can't express to you the hope that I have in Christ for eternity. I can't express it in the fullness that it's been revealed to me by his Spirit, but I know it. And I know it's going to be better than what my mind can conceive. So in that way, he has revealed those things to us that by his Spirit. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That's an astounding statement. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. What does that mean? We who are spiritual, because we are spiritual, we do judge all things. That means that we use judgment in everything we do, in everything we say. Yes, and we use judgment with everything we meet. And we don't judge others onto condemnation or to compare themselves to ourselves, whether they're less holy or whatever. No, the judgment we use as a guide to our life. The judgment we use as to whether we're going to associate with other people, because we can look at their lives, we can judge, and we can see what they're after. We can see whether they're going to be a good influence on our family and our children. We must judge all things. But he says here that, but yet he himself is judged of no man. Why? Why are we judged of no man? Because we're judged of God. We're judged by his word. We're judged by his Holy Spirit. And we call the Holy Spirit to judge us, because it is the job of his Holy Spirit in our lives to convict us of sin. And we welcome this conviction of sin, that we might learn righteousness, that we might put on righteousness. So what need is there to be judged of men if we are being judged of the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father? If we are being convicted and our lives are being changed, we're being putting on righteousness, our minds are being renewed by the washing of the water of the Word, we are living this lifestyle of repentance. And as the Holy Spirit convicts, we recognize his law, because we're in his law, we see where we fail, and we pray that we can walk in a way that is contrary to the way that we used to walk, that is contrary to the way in which we failed pleasing, living a life that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And that's what it means to put on his righteousness. So we don't need to be judged of any man, yet we judge all things, and we judge all things by his word and by his Spirit. He continues, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And there is the key. We have the mind of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there are among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, or who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And you know, that's the way it is in the world. Men want to follow men. They want to look to a man. And of course, that's why they have their popes and all of their great men that they look to. And that's why they call their president, their Obama, the one, the Messiah in the world today. Chapter 3, verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building. You know, what he's talking about here is these Corinthians being carnal like the world. You know how they love to follow after popularity, and how they follow like movie stars, or this teacher, or that teacher, and this guru, or that guru in the world, or this talk show host, or this TV talk show host. And they follow these men around like Rush Bimbo and Alex, and all of these other talk show hosts. And they just follow men. And they think these men are wise. No, but we need to follow our Creator. He gives us His Spirit. We need to follow His Holy Spirit on an individual basis. That should be enough for us. Yes, we should get together. We should fellowship. We should study the Word together. But we should study the Word, not just believe men. We need to check out the Word for ourselves, make sure that whatever men we're listening to are preaching the truth. He says, for we are laborers together with our Creator. We are God's husbandry. You are God's building. We're not of men, in other words. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, Yahshua, our Messiah. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath builded thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And perhaps he shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Because some people are building on a totally different foundation. He goes on, know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple which you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. And, you know, I get the testimony that I am a fool in the world all the time, and I get it from those people out there in the world who email me and send comments about some of my work, especially, you know, that work that I did in that short video, which is a testimony of the cross, the foolishness of men, but the wisdom of God. And they testify all the time that what they think of that. They think of that, that it is foolishness to the world. So, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. And, you know, it's not fun. I guess it would be more fun to be popular in the world and to have people wow after my video, like the zeitgeist and the spirit of the age and things that tickle itching ears, rather than being a fool in the world. But as Paul says here, if any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. So I guess as long as the world is calling me a fool, then perhaps I can be wise in the kingdom of heaven. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain, they are vanity. Therefore, verse 21, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. So, I mean, really what he's saying here, let no man glory in the divisions of men. No, let no man glory in the denominations of men. So we take it back to the context. Paul is going on and on about the sectarianism, about the divisions of men, which have built up into denominations today. And it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm sure that any righteous man, as Paul is speaking, no. You know, it's not the church of Paul of Tarsus. It's not the church of the Pope of Rome. It's not the church of Luther. It's not the Lutherans. It's not the this. It's not the that. It's not the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's not about divisions and sectarianism. It's not about denomination. He said, wherefore, let no man glory in men. And that's what he's talking about, because he clarifies it. He says, all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's. You are the Messiah's. And the Messiah is of our Creator, and Christ is of God. Chapter 4. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. Because I often talk about the mysteries, and these things are hidden. These mysteries are hidden from the world. And these mysteries are expressed seldom in the scripture. I mean, although they're expressed seldom in the form of the word mystery throughout the scripture. But the scripture is ripe with mysteries and things that are hidden or foolishness to the world. And the foolishness to the world, what seems to be foolishness to the world, is the mystery of God hidden from them, because all they see is foolishness. And I recall a time when I first began to read, for instance, the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs from the, in the Old Testament. And I began to read it, and it was just confusion to me. But, you know, it was the Spirit of God that made me persist and continue to read, where now I read today and it's no longer, there's no confusion. The mystery is plainly revealed to me of what that book means, and always one of my favorites and one of my favorite studies. And I suggest to anyone who listens to Cross the Border that you go to my website and you listen to my favorite. I still have to say it's my favorite book, and one of my favorite studies that I've done is the book of Proverbs, and perhaps I'll even have to do it again. But it was a lot of fun doing it. But the mysteries hidden there that were hidden from me when I first began reading it, and how now the mysteries are plain to me and revealed so that there is no confusion. So persist. That's my message. We are stewards of the mysteries of our Creator. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or a man's judgment. Yes, I judge not my own self. And we'll get back into this after these brief messages here. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.